Of Luke chapter 19. And we're going to go through a few verses here and trust that the power of the Holy Spirit ministers to you as we do. I want you to see the picture if you can. We're going to just ask the Lord to open up these words and make them windows. Windows into the past, windows into the present, windows that can kind of give us an understanding of Jesus and even the men around about us. In verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, let's go back and go through it verse by verse a bit. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. How old do you think Zacchaeus was? The Scriptures don't give us any real inclination. If he was very young, it would have said he was young and rich, because it's unusual to be rich while you're young. The Bible tells us about the rich young ruler and makes quite an ado of the fact that he was young and was very wealthy. And this man, it doesn't tell us his age. And so we can kind of just take a look and see how that he has gotten his wealth. He's got it through taxation. He has found a very good job working in the thought of getting revenue for Rome. And so he is a person who collects taxes. And over time, he has become very rich. And so since this man is rich, perhaps he was at least in his late 30s, probably in his 40s, and if he wasn't real good at it, he might have been already in his 50s, who knows. But look at him and see him, perhaps a man late 30s, middle 40s. And you look at him and you see he's a little fella. He's a little man, and probably his stature makes him more aggressive than if he was full size. It just causes him to find ways of making up for lacking something. And this man, he is interested in Jesus. For reasons that only God knows, people find that some will curse his name and turn away, and others are drawn toward him. But he was drawn toward the Lord. Every man here who is drawn toward God out of a pure heart is blessed. But not every person is drawn out of a pure heart. There's people who come and they have an ego trip. They come and they're going to judge the church, and they're going to judge the preacher. They're going to mark his scorecard. They're going to decide, hey, I'm not going there, this, or I'm not going anywhere. But here was a man who was hungry for God. He saw and felt and understood that in Christ there was something special. He found that there was an attraction in his own spirit. He had been able to be a man who had acquired wealth, but something was yet lacking in his life. He was still hungry. What other people were chasing, he'd already caught. What other people were wanting, it was already his. Oh, he was despised a bit, because whoever likes the IRS? I don't think anybody finds themselves really praying before they go to bed. Maybe we should. Lord, bless the IRS and be with all those people who collect the taxes. We kind of just want to get as far away mentally, emotionally as we can. And all we want is no involvement. Just don't touch me and leave me go, and I'll pay it and leave it at that hand. But here was a tax collector, and he was rich, but he was hungry for something that he didn't have. And the Bible tells us that he climbed up into a sycamore tree. so that he could see Jesus. He just couldn't see through the crowd, and he climbed up in the sycamore tree, and the answer that Jesus gives in this moment, verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, hurry up, make haste. I've never seen him say that very often. I kind of have in my mind that Jesus was kind of a slower person. You know, I just don't see him saying, hurry up. But here he's saying, Zacchaeus, hurry up. Zacchaeus, hurry up. There's no point in wasting any time. Don't dilly-dally. Zacchaeus, hurry up and get out of the tree. I don't know why Jesus said hurry up. I think it was that Jesus wanted to get on with something. Have you ever felt like you'd like to get on with something? You realize that until something moves, the blessing can't come. Until something moves, the victory can't be yours. Until something gets in place and in motion, that you can't really have what is waiting to happen. And it's as though there is something that is so precious that is just about ready to happen. Hurry up, it's almost Christmas. Hurry up, it's almost a time of outpouring. Hurry up, what you're looking for is going to be yours. Don't waste any time, Zacchaeus. I know what you want, and it's me. Don't waste any time. Hurry up and get your blessing. I would to God that every one of us would know that there's a reason to hurry. Oh, I don't mean that in a carnal way, but I mean that in a spiritual way. Why stand here and die? We think of four lepers who said, why sit here and die? Why stay here and die? Let's do something. That's what God puts into the spirit of his people. Let's get on with it. God is a God that sets before us an open door, and no man can shut it. There's many adversaries, but praise God, there's victory through Christ. There can be victory in your marriage. There can be victory in what you're doing. Don't just dilly-dally. We think about the military. They talk about a window of opportunity, a window, a time when you can strike, a time when you can win, a time when you can succeed, and there is timing in God as well. God is a God that uses time. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. He's a God that uses time to make people ripe. But look and see, it is now the harvest that is ripe. Pray ye for that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest. There is timing in what God does. And there is moments when God just lets us wait until we're ripe. But when the time is ripe, move, because this is the time of victory that God has ordained. Jesus said, make haste. That's in verse 5. And he said, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. It was an honor to have Jesus as a guest. If we're not careful, serving God is kind of, oh my, do I have to serve the Lord? Oh my, I have to turn to God. You know, if your heart is wrong, I guess there's nothing that can happen except God change it. And a lot of people, their hearts never really get right with God because they don't have a listening heart. But God is at work making our hearts right. And so Jesus said to him, hurry up and get down because I want something. It could have been construed in that manner. But what was saying in that moment was, without the words declaring it, but the Spirit implying it, hurry down because you're going to have the greatest guest you could ever ask. You're going to have the privilege of serving me. You're going to have the privilege of being a host unto me. Hurry down because I am coming to your house. I think that most of us here, if we are born again, we know that serving God is an honor. For the Lord to ask of anything of you, it's an honor. Some people think that tithing is no honor. It's an honor. Some people think giving your time is not an honor. It's an honor to give your time to God. Some people think that it's no honor to present your body a living sacrifice. Some people think that it's not an honor for God to tell you to cease from sin and to move into righteousness. It's an honor for God to say, I want you to do something for me. Oh, many of us, we would understand it if it was the president that called us and said, I'm coming in on my plane and I'd like you to be there. We'd cancel everything and we'd tell everybody, listen, I am sorry, I can't be to work today. The president called me. And they say, well, you're a Democrat. Why do you want? I don't care. He called and I want to be there because he has honored me by asking. The power of the Holy Spirit is greater in its manifestation in the body of Christ. And as Zacchaeus was up in the tree, Jesus didn't say, I've got something to give you. Jesus said, you've got something to give to me. Every single person here, you've got something to give to God. He's rich, and there's nothing that we have that can make him richer in one sense. But in another sense, he is saying to us, give me what you have. And you have to know in your own spirit, is it a joy to give to God? Is it a privilege? There's nothing that Jesus could have said that would have been more important to Zacchaeus in that moment than to say, I am going to eat at your house. I am going to sit at your table. I am going to walk through your door. I am going to come into your room. I am going to come to your house. Nothing that Jesus could have said could have been more important. Jesus could have said, I'll give you fish, or I'll give you bread, or I'll give you this or something else. But he wasn't looking for more. He had a sense inside that he knew that he had to give. And many of us are perverted today. We don't understand that we need to give. We need to give to our marriages, and we're taking and taking and taking and wonder why that the person we're married to is so heavily oppressed. It's because we've been thieves instead of people who give. We have been a people who have asked ourselves, what can I get from business, and what can I get from employment? What can I get from the community, and what can I get from government, and what can I get from the church? It's not a question of what you can get from the church, but does God speak to you today and say, I will use you for my glory. I'll use you to pull down the strongholds of the devil. I'll cause you to speak my word. I'll use you in this moment to turn around the thoughts of a people who've been perverted by the power of hell. I've called you. I am going to come to you and ask you to feed me. I'm going to come to you and ask you to set me at a table. I'm going to come to you and ask you to see that I have a temporal need that I want you to meet. I'm coming to your house. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, make haste. And verse 6 says, and he made haste. Jesus said, hurry up, and he hurried up. Jesus said, get out of the tree right now, and he got out of the tree right now. He complied in the spirit that God wanted it to be done. Wouldn't it have been weird if he just said, oh, why does everybody ask me? Why, you know, can't you eat at McDonald's? No, he was eager for what God had proposed. God is the one who sets us in order. And if we got a wrong heart, he changes the heart. But if you're really born again, he gives you a heart that is able to enjoy what God asks. His ways aren't grievous. The Bible tells us his yoke is easy, his burden is light. That was no heavy burden. Take care of Jesus. He couldn't have been more excited. He came out of that tree just as quick as he could. He did exactly what Jesus said. He made haste and came out of the tree. And when they saw him, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. If God is giving grace to somebody, there's two real reasons why God gives grace. He gives grace sometimes so that men can be without an excuse. Some people are in this church service right now going to go to hell. Burn for eternity, perhaps. And God has dealt with them. But when you go to hell, you'll know that God spoke to you. You'll know that you rebelled. You turned your back upon God. And God promised you everything. And you said, I don't need what you've got. I think about a man in the church service. When I was preaching in Mount Clemens, pastoring a small church. And he was the kind of guy you just liked. He was stationed at Selfridge Field. Him and his wife, just a young couple. Invited Shirley and myself over for dinner. We went over, and you couldn't help but like the guy. But I remember in a particular service, he left mad. I knew he left mad. I know just about everything that happens in the church that God wants me to know in the congregation. I know a lot more than you think. And I remember at that time, I felt the need to extend the altar call. And I extended that altar call. And I wouldn't let the service close. We played another verse of the closing altar hymn. We held people longer still. He sat on the back row with his wife, and I knew he was burned up and he wanted to get out of there, and he felt that he was somehow hurt in this whole situation. He resented what was happening. He thought it was geared for him. And in a sense, it was partially geared for him. He was willing to look toward God but not give up. He was willing to come to church but not give up. He was willing to have the pastor and his wife over for dinner but not give up. He wouldn't make a hurry to give up. He said, I'll give up in my own time. I'll give up when I feel like it. I'll get out of the tree when it's my moment. I'll get out of the tree when I'm sure I can live it. I'll come to Christ in my own time. But Jesus was saying, hurry up and get out of the tree right now. Hurry up and get out of your sin right now. Hurry up and get out of what you're trusting right now. And do it right now. Make it fast. I never will forget that service. And when he left, I knew that there was a man who was angry that left. During that week, came to a four-way stop, little Corvair pickup truck. As he started to go past, somebody caught his bumper and threw his car on an angle, and it went right into the path of a ready-mix truck that was coming. It rode right across the cab of that truck. His death came instantly. He was angry. He was angry because the church wasn't what he wanted it to be. He was angry because the preacher didn't handle it the way he wanted. He was angry, but he didn't realize that the church is purchased with God's blood. The church is purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to do anything and everything to keep people from doing what God is saying. Hurry up and get out of your sin. Hurry up and get out of your indifference, your pride, your rebellion. It's time to stop it now. It's time to be free now. It's time to be delivered now. It's time to present your body a living sacrifice. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. How long are you going to stay up in the tree where that you can see but you can't touch? How long are you going to stay up in the tree? And the tree not only is that which gives you an advantage to see, but it keeps you away from people, and it even keeps you away from the Jesus. You're up in a place that's higher even than Christ. And it's amazing how many people, they're in a place that's higher than even Jesus. They say, well, I'm not like those hypocrites in the church. They're higher than what Christ is doing in the body of Christ. I'm not like those phony preachers. They're higher than those who are in the body of Christ. At least I'm not like those people. I'm honest. At least I'm sincere. But you better get out of your tree and get down to where Christ is, because he wants to have an intimacy with you. He says, I want to go to your house. I want to go where you live. I want to go where you dwell. I want to go where you eat. I want to go where you dream. I want to go where you're at. I want to come into your life. He's a God that wants to come into our lives. No, it wasn't just an event. It wasn't just a time to see a prophet come through town. The importance was not so he could satisfy his curiosity. He had to satisfy the need inside of every man to have fellowship with God. And God looked and said, you can stay in that tree, and I'll walk on by, and you'll see better than if you were on the ground. But you won't be changed except you have a relationship with me. You won't be transformed except you have a relationship with me. I want to have a relationship with you. That says God not only to Zacchaeus, but to every one of us. And the people looked and they said, he is a sinner, and there goes Jesus to eat with a sinner. Doesn't he know who Zacchaeus is? Oh yes, he knew who Zacchaeus was. He called him by name. He knew everything. Everybody knew Zacchaeus. You couldn't help but know Zacchaeus. He was the man who kept on hounding you for taxes. Everybody around knew who Zacchaeus was. Jesus called him by name, Zacchaeus. So he knew all there was to know about him. They said he's a sinner, but they didn't realize that a relationship, an invitation by God, changes your life. Some people think that, I hear about people that say, well, I'll get right with God when I feel like it. I'll get right with God. I just am not ready to get right with God yet. I'm not ready to let go and let God take over. When I am ready, I'll let God know. Who put you in charge of the universe? Who put you in charge of God? Who put you in charge of salvation? Who put you in charge of forgiveness? Nobody put you in charge. That's God's work, except the Spirit of God work in your life. You can't repent. It's God's invitation. You better realize that you're not in the driver's seat. I hear about people who get saved, and after they get saved, they make up their mind that it's pretty hard serving God, and I have some sins I want to hang on to. Oh, I want to kind of balance act. I don't want to lose the wife, but I sure like to be different when I'm not there with her. And I got some sins that keep me from being what I ought to be. Listen, if you've got a problem, it's a sin problem. The only real problem in the universe is a sin problem. And with the sin problems taken care of, praise God, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But people say, I'm not ready yet to settle down. I'm not ready yet to let God take over. God's there, and when I get ready, I'll let him know. I'll simply say to him, God, fine. This is the day you've been waiting for, God. This is the hour that you've been just waiting for. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do you a favor. If you treat me right, I'm going to be a Christian. If you treat me right, I'm going to get right with God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And this may be the day that God says to you, you have sown the wind and you'll reap the whirlwind. Listen, God is not mocked. I said God is not mocked. His mercy, his grace, his kindness, his tenderness, he is not going to be embarrassed. What do you think would have happened if Zacchaeus had responded and said, no, I'm not coming out of the tree? It would have been that moment that his spirit would have been set forever, where that he never would have come to Christ. You think that saying no to Christ is your option? Listen, it brings demon spirits into your life. It brings darkness into your soul. It causes you to be a man hardened against the things of God. We need to realize that God calling us is not something to take lightly. We need to respond to what God is saying. We need to realize that there's only one response, and that's to do what he says. And when God says make haste, then make haste. I don't understand this philosophy that says, when I feel like it, I'll do God a favor. And in the meantime, I understand he died on the cross, shed his blood for me. I realize that God loves me, has promised me eternal life. But listen, God, I'm not ready for you yet. And when I get ready for you, I'll let you know. When I get ready for you, I'll tell you. Just back off. Don't call me, I'll call you. Do you know there's a lot of people who are saying exactly that? Don't call me, God, I'll call you. You've been calling me and I'm tired of it. You've been speaking to me in 1,000 different ways. But listen, God, let's get this thing straight now. Don't call me, I'll call you. I know where you're at, you're in heaven. Don't call me, I'll call you. I'm not ready yet. I know what you want. I know that you want me to repent of my sins and give up my rebellion. I know that you want me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept the lordship that you are. But don't call me. I'll call you. I'll know when I'm ready, and I'll respond then. Listen, God has promised that judgment must begin at the house of God. It must begin where people know the grace of God. It must begin where people understand what God has done. And if judgment begins at the house of God, where will it end? What will happen to the wicked? What will happen to those who turn their backs upon God? I think it's an hour when we have to realize we don't have the option. If he ever tells you, make haste and get out of the tree, then do exactly what he says. He has a right to give commandment to all men. Zacchaeus was the kind of a man that God could say that to. A lot of people say, well, God's never spoken to me. Maybe he knows your answer before he ever speaks. Jesus said there's those who don't have eyes and those who don't have ears. Driving down I-94 on Friday, looked and I saw a tanker on the side of the road. Traffic blocked up for miles. And there a man pulling petroleum. A car that had stopped on the expressway and he tried to miss it and go around so he wouldn't hurt the car. Lost control and tipped the thing over and pinned inside, died. The flames surrounding him took out his life. the cab of that tractor truck, nothing but a cinder left, and a man's body inside that could have lived with no problem had it not been for the fire, but the fire came. A man who perhaps had a family, a man who had a wife perhaps, a man that had dreams perhaps, a man who probably wanted to get through and say, thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Listen, you may think it's Friday, but it may be the time that you need to get right with God. So often we say, thank God it's Friday. And there it was, late in the afternoon, thank God it's Friday. But it was his last Friday, and he was gone. Young man driving a tractor trailer down the road just a few weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer now, but front tire blew on it. Just a young guy, I think it was his third day working for the company, lost control of that thing, and it tipped over, crushed it down, I guess, upon his knees or his body. He couldn't get out. Fire ignited, and he died in the middle of that thing. We live as though death never comes to us, as though we are immortal. We live like we're going to go on until we're 100 years old. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Who promised you tomorrow? There's only one person who can promise you a tomorrow, and you'll get tomorrow because you get out of the tree. And you get out the way that he says get out. You'll get out in a hurry or you won't get out. If you think you can take your time to get saved, you're not going to get saved. I know that there's a possibility, but I'm telling you this. God knows the spirit of a people, and God does not speak to us to see if we can rebel. He speaks to us so that we can be free. It's time for people to take God seriously. It's time for people to turn to God with their whole heart. How often do you think you can turn your back upon God? How often do you think you can look at him and have contempt for him? Today is a day of obeying the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Call upon him. He will forgive you of your sins, but you need to get right with God. It amazes me that so many people, the sin that's in their life, they ought to be ashamed of, and yet they hang on to it as though it's something precious. They hang on to it like it's a treasure they can't get rid of. Sexual sin, rebellion, pride, ego trips, all of these things. And they look and they act as if, I'm going to give God a chance. I'm going to check him out. I'm going to check God out. I'm going to check the church out. I'm going to check the people out. Listen, you're not going to check God out. He's already checked you out. He already checked you out, and he sees that you're playing God. And you need to submit to the Lord with all your heart. You need to realize how wonderful it is to be saved. How wonderful it is to turn to Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to have Jesus say to us, come out of the tree and make haste. Come out of the tree and make haste. Come out of the tree, come out now. When God says that to us, there's something that God does. As this man began to respond and said, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. They said he was a sinner, but his spirit was changed because of an invitation. They said, those around about said that he was a sinner, but he said, I am willing to be all that you want me to be. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to take my treasure and give to the poor. I'm willing to yield. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to give half of what I have to the poor, and if I've wronged anyone, I'm willing to penalize myself and give four times as much as I've taken from them. My heart is right because you've spoken to me. My heart is right because you've called me. The amazing thing is that Jesus didn't even mention anything to him about injustice. Jesus didn't mention anything to him about not giving to the poor. Jesus didn't mention anything to him about dishonesty. Do you know there's times when nothing needs to be said? Just the fact that God is willing to come close to us, that there is something in that moment that addresses that moment and sees what's wrong and volunteers in our spirit, Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to yield to you. I want to be pleasing in your sight. I want to be this. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. God saw something precious in this man Zacchaeus, and he didn't come down with a negative speech for him. He simply said, hurry up and get out of the tree. Hurry up and get out of the tree. That's all that God said. Hurry up and get out of the tree, because he was able to find that his spirit responded to the Spirit of God. And the words didn't have to be said, but there was a hunger to be right with God, a desire to please the Lord. It's not simply preachers giving specifics, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. It's not written upon stone, but it's written upon the tablets of the heart. And here was a man that his heart was responding, and he didn't have a bunch of rules that he had to conform to, but he knew that this friend and wonder one that was asking him to come down out of the tree was none other than the one that he loved in his spirit. It was God that was speaking to him, and he said, I respond in a spirit that ought to be that which is given toward God. And God worked in his life and saved him in that day. Saved him from his selfishness, saved him from his own bondage, saved him from his slavery, loosed him from the power of the enemy, simply because Zacchaeus got out of the tree in a hurry. Sometimes in a church, and I'll close, a preacher will preach a message and he will say, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, leave your seat and come to the altar. And people find that that's the greatest struggle of their life. But when they make that bold step and they leave their seat to come to the altar, something happens. Something happens in that movement. Something happens. And I'm going to tell you this, that something happened to Zacchaeus. By the time his feet hit the ground, he was a new Zacchaeus. By the time his feet hit the ground, he was a transformed Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector who was going to be richer than anybody else. He was the benefactor who was going to serve God. Something happened when he was in a hurry getting out of the tree. A miracle from God hit him. Oh, God's a miracle working God. Something happened coming out of that tree. Something happened getting out of there the way God wanted. He did what God wanted. I don't know what God wants from you, but you find out what God wants and you do what God wants, but he says, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it in a hurry. And when you do, you will sense a miracle touching your spirit, touching your heart. It was a different Zacchaeus that hit the ground than the one who went up in the tree. The miracle happened because he obeyed the Lord. And something wonderful happens every time you obey him. Stand with me in this service. And if you're in this service today and you don't know Jesus in a victorious way, I don't know what people think about you. That's not important. It's what God thinks about you. But he doesn't go around telling you what he thinks about you. He looks and he sees the hunger of your heart. And if coming into this service has been for you climbing up a tree, as it were, so you could see Jesus better, if being here today was somehow just so that you could get closer to Christ, I want to say while all the saints are praying that if you will leave where you're at and come to this altar right now, a miracle will happen in your life. God will perform it. If you're not saved or if you're a backslider, today's the day of your victory. Today's the day of your blessing. And get here in a hurry. Get here right now. Get here in a hurry. Don't take your time. If God is speaking to your heart, he's a miracle working God. Messages aren't preached for no reason at all. There's a reason why this service is here today. Make haste and leave where you're at and get right with God right now. Let God touch your heart. You know where you're at spiritually. You know where you're at in your life. You know what God is wanting to do in your spirit. He's a God of grace and he's a God of power. And today is the day of victory. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. How many times do you think that Jesus had to beg Zacchaeus to get out of the tree? How long do you think he stood up there weighing and counting the cost? He was on his way. He was on his way. There's somebody here, you ought to be on your way already. You ought to be on your way already. The devil puts thoughts in our mind that slows us down. We think, well, I can't live it, or I've been at the altar, I've asked God to help me, whatever the reason is. But you need to be on your way right now. If there's sin in your life, get right with God. Maybe you're a Christian, but there's no place for slavery, for sin in your life. Get out of the tree. God wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to work in your spirit. He desires to work in your life. I've never been one who believed that we ought to beg people to receive from God. God speaks, if you're not able to respond, then I'm to assume that you don't want to. And yet there's times people are held back by the power of the enemy. And whether it's that service that I waited so long, that Sunday morning giving special attendance to a call, or whether it's today that I know that His word does not return void, I tarry a moment. I tarry a moment. I realize that maybe I'm imperfect in my delivery. Maybe some way, somehow, if you had seen Jesus totally imperfectly, you'd respond to Him more carefully. And I give you another opportunity. Listen, if you're here and you got sin in your life, you need to get to the altar. You say, well, I don't know if I can get out of it. That's between you and God. You let God give you the victory, but you come to repentance. You tell God you're sorry. You tell God you're sorry. You tell God you need to be set free. Listen, this service is not a wasted service. It's not one that's wasted. There's a reason for this service. God's here. I want you saints to pray for a moment. God's here. God knows every person that's walked through the door. He knows what you need. Some of you need to get out of the tree. And you need to get out in a hurry, because it's Jesus that's calling you. I'm going to give you just another moment. But God's speaking to somebody. God's drawing somebody. Messages aren't wasted words. He promised that His word would not return void, but it would accomplish what He sent it forth to do. And I don't know who you are, but if God's speaking to you, get to the altar right now. Come right now. Come right now while the saints are praying. Come right now. God knows your secret life. God knows your secret life. God loves you. His invitation's never wasted. God has something for you. God has something for you right now. God's speaking to other hearts today. I want you just to let God take over. I want you to let God take over. Let God take over. Listen, there's a reason for this service. There's a reason for every time that we enter into His house. He knows the secrets of our heart. He knows our need. He knows us in this moment. He cares. I want you just to believe God right now. I want you to trust God right now. May the Holy Spirit just allow you to come out of that tree, to come out in a hurry, to believe the Lord. I want you to believe God for it. I want you to believe God for it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. I want you just to thank the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Eternal God and Father, I ask that you'd be with my sister. I ask, God, as you call her close to you, that your hand, dear God, will be upon her for good. I'm asking, God, in the name of Jesus, that in a new way, that she would see that you've come close, that you've come closer, dear God, than you've ever come to her, that the Spirit of Jesus comes close this moment. I ask, God, that you'd loose her from every attack and every accusation of the enemy. I'm asking for a miracle, dear God, of thy saving grace to be real, dear God, in its deepest way in her life. I'm asking, dear God, that she would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all of her sins are forgiven. I'm asking, God, that she would know that she belongs to you, dear God, in a perfect way. I ask, God, that she would know this day that you work in her life. We believe you for it right now. And God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you'd be with every person that's in this congregation now, that the Spirit of Jesus would touch every heart. I'm asking, God, for your grace to be shed abroad. I'm asking, God, that you'd draw us nigh to thee, that we'd be brought near to you this day. I ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you'd speak to us, that you'd see us, Lord, in our tree. You'd see us, dear God, in our vantage point. You'd see us, dear God, in the place that we have gone, dear God, to get a better view. But, Lord, I pray that we'd realize that it's not just a better view, not a better doctrine, but it's a better relationship with Christ. Bless us, dear God, and we'll thank you, for we claim it in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. In that wonderful name, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to prepare for the Lord's table today, and I feel good about the Lord's table today. We go to the Word of God concerning this table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And after we have examined ourselves, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I used to think, well, I'm not the Christian I'd like to be, and so I won't partake of the table. But I don't find that God is saying that. God is telling us, obey. Come out of the tree. Ask God for victory. Ask God for grace. The failure of our life is not meant to keep us from the table. The failure of our life is meant to bring us to Christ. To realize that as we respond, something happens as we come out of the tree. We're changed. We're changed by the power of God. And I trust that as you come to this table today, that you will sense God changing you. Let us pray. Father, as we come to this table today, as we leave, dear God, our place in the tree, as we leave that place, I ask God that we come to this table because you said come, that we would make haste in our spirit to bring our spirit under compliance to your law, to your will, to obey you. And as we obey you, God, I pray that you would grant the miracle of change. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. Bring us into a right relationship with you, and we'll thank you for it. For we claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to come to the table, and as you do, may the Lord prosper you in giving. Unto God, your allegiance to him, totally and completely. God bless you today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. We've come to God's house to eat this table. But I want you to do something in your mind and in your spirit. I want you to realize that, in a sense, God wants to eat at our house. I want you to think about your personal life. I want you to think about your house, your place of dwelling, the place that's under your control. And realize that that's where God really wants to eat. He wants to not just have you come to church and eat his body and drink his blood, but he wants you to say, come to my life and come to my house and let the table be there. In your own thinking, see yourself with the body and the blood of the Lord in your house. Don't separate it where there's an isolation between you and your living and God, but bring God near. See your life as belonging to him. Look through your life and see your frustration. See the time that you become angry and you just get short-tempered. It's human. Pressures are hard to bear. No people have had more pressure than this generation, I don't think. And that pressure sometimes makes us come out carnal in our activity. But God gives grace. Father, we come to you today so calm, so cool, so collected, so easy for us, dear God, to say, My Jesus, and partake of this table. But Lord, we know what it is to be in the middle, dear God, of tension and pressure. We know what it is, dear God, to be frustrated and hurt and wounded. We know what it is to be behind in bills and in time. We know what it is, dear God, to feel the cry and the scream, dear God, of our spirit. Won't it change? What's wrong with this place? Oh God, some way, somehow, bless our house. some way, somehow, bless our jobs, bless our lives, bless our bodies. Come, Lord, and dwell with us today. We've come to your table. But my God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd come to ours too. And I ask, oh God, that this would be the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, that God's concerned about the tree that we're in. You want to bring us back down to the earth, even if we're small, you still want to get us there. I pray that you touch us now. Jesus, you told Zacchaeus to come out of the tree, but you hung upon a tree. You went up into the tree for all of us. It was on that tree, Jesus, that you were lifted. You were lifted so you could see the sin of all the world. You were lifted so you could see the sickness of all mankind. You got into a tree so you could look down through the hours of history to this generation and to this time. You got up into the tree and you looked out, you saw fallen humanity everywhere, and you cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You hung on that tree and you saw us. In this particular moment of history, you saw us. Only you, dear God, have a place in that tree. My God, in the name of Jesus, we celebrate your obedience to the Father. We celebrate your pure life. We celebrate, dear God, this moment, the perfect sacrifice. We celebrate it in the name of the Lord. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Eat this, his body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Drink this cup. It's sweet to us. It was bitter to him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. This is the covenant ratified in my blood. Hallelujah, that you'll remember our sins no more. And I ask God for a miracle of your Spirit, yea, that the Holy Spirit would move in this service and you'd grant your perfect work. That you'd accomplish, dear God, what you have sent this service for, that your word would go forth and not return void, but that thy purpose would be done. Give grace. Give grace. Give grace. Give grace. Thank you for that grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, greater than all my sin. Grace, grace, God's grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray now that the benediction mercy of God would be upon this congregation. I'm asking, God, that thy Spirit and thy power would work in an abundant manner in the life of each heart. I ask, God, that you'd bind us together in love, that your purpose may be made plain, and we'll thank you, for we claim it in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. God bless you today. I believe the Lord's been here in a special way.